Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Oh, man, that was great. Here's a video of a chimpanzee riding on a Segway. It's only 40 seconds. There is a chimpanzee riding on a Segway. He is currently wearing blue overalls, a white long-sleeve shirt, a red helmet, and he is cruising around to the amazement of the what I can only assume are Japanese people. This seems like something that would be on Japanese television and not Chinese or Korean television. And he just got off the Segway and he's hopping away. And he runs over. Oh, he ran into a tree there. That's okay. And he hopped out. That lady just said, wow. And then he gives the guy who's apparently his keeper a nice big hug. So, I don't know why. I just needed to test the audio and that's what I picked because my kids love it. So, by the way, if you've never listened to Perry Grip, don't.
Tacos.
Oh man, it's the Raining Tacos guy. He's got a bunch of songs. Yeah, they're awful. So I'm Tom. If you don't know me, hi. Hi. Hello. So what I'm going to talk to you a little bit about today is free shit. Who likes free shit?
Woo!
Yeah. Okay. And some of it's free. Some of it's relatively low cost. What you'll find with a lot of what? Oh, sorry. If you're going to say something, chime in.
Like,
it is, yes, but it's cheap. Let's say cheap, inexpensive, and also very much usable and will probably not fail you at any real moment. So there's lots of great tools out there on the internet that we can use in this industry, mostly driven by what we talked about the other day with the new hardware that we were looking at, that cool, was it a Korg? Something or another, that board that we had that had the seven or eight buttons on it and all the sliders. Like, what's driving this isn't necessarily radio, it's streaming. Like, everybody is streaming everything all the time now. Your kids are streaming videos to the internet and watching people play video games, and, you know, people are putting themselves on YouTube, and a lot of these folks are using the same kind of tools that we can use, and they're being developed open source so that everybody can get a hold of them. So, what streaming has allowed a lot of folks to do these days is it's kind of opened the door for people who want to produce content to just get it out there. And really, the amount of money you can spend on tools that do this in the professional manner is astronomical compared to the price of open source software that can do a lot of stuff for you. So, and some of this is going to be real applicable to what you're doing every day, and some of this is not. Because a lot of this is kind of your mileage may vary. I'm going to show you some video tools, and if you don't use video stuff and do video production, then it may not be super helpful to you, but I want you to take them with you and at least get an opportunity to play around with them. That way, if you and your organization want to expand how you're able to market and how you're able to communicate with your community, it's going to help you. So, you want to see my kids?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. All right, so here's Layla. Ooh, wait, I gotta open that up in photos. She is the one that currently doesn't have COVID-19. And she is a theater person. She was just in a production of School of Rock with a bunch of people. And,
what does she look like?
I will describe Layla. She is a young Caucasian female, about 10 years of age in this photo. She has short brown hair. She's wearing a gray, stripy kind of t-shirt with a button, I'm sure it's a button-down sort of dress deal that day. And she has brown eyes, and she's just like her father in that she can't pay attention to anything. That's Joey. I call him Bam Bam, mostly because for the first 2 years of his life he didn't say much, he just grunted and hit things. So he is currently the one with COVID-19. He's doing well, though. He's all right. He thinks it's great. He gets to sit in the basement and play Xbox, and people bring him food. So he thinks this is the greatest thing he's ever had.
Like that when he's 21.
Right. Here's hoping. If he's anything like his old man, he'll be in his parents' basement in his 20s. And, oh, there's another picture of Layla where she's sitting on a fancy couch. I think that was at the Fox Theater.
How old is Joey?
Joey is 8 now, and Layla is 11, and they are both demons. First thing I want to show you guys is called Open Broadcaster. And I don't know if any of you folks have ever played with this before. Yeah, it's a really cool tool. I talked about this a little bit last year in a similar seminar. But what this is it's essentially a full-fledged video mixing suite for live producing. So if you wanted to do a live broadcast and have a webcam hooked up and have it pointed at your news readers, and you wanted to broadcast that on Facebook, YouTube, any sort of social media platform where you can share video, you can do that with this for absolutely free. All you need to do is have a cheap webcam and an audio plugged into your computer somewhere, so you'd be able to kind of mix it around. It has a lot of cool tools in it. What I did with this originally, which we haven't done it for a couple of, well, since we started our Springfield stream, I had to reconfigure our whole audio setup for that, and it kind of eliminated the plugins that I needed until I get our new on-air computer built. But what I did was I actually put the Mind's Eye logo, boom, right in the middle of the picture, and just had it there, and I had a little crawl at the bottom that said, "Thank you for listening to Mind's Eye. This is intended for a blind and print impaired audience." And it was on YouTube 24 hours a day. So it was just an open stream so that anybody could hop on there and see what we do. It wasn't necessarily advertised. We didn't hand it out to people. But if we had somebody who called the office and said, "Well, I don't know if my mom would really like this. How can I show it to her?" You can go to our website and click on our stream there, or if you go to our YouTube channel, it's right there for you. And it's an easy way to get your message out there, again, no cost. OBS, Open Broadcasting System, or Studio. And it works on Mac, Windows. It's pretty universal. What this has actually become famous for is guys use this almost exclusively to stream onto Twitch on the internet. So when they're playing video games or whatever they're doing, they use this to do all their video mixing. So they'll have three or four webcams that they can switch to, just like you would in a TV studio if you had an actual video board. You could just pan around and do cool wipes and do all sorts of fun stuff. So next up, this kind of goes hand in hand with it. This is called VB, there's a couple of them. VB Audio is a software company. It's an open source, non-for-profit kind of deal. And what they make is audio routing tools for your computer. And what they do is essentially they give you a mixer in your computer that you can go in and route audio in and out different ways. And it gives you a lot more versatility than having just a standard mixer sitting right next to your computer. You can go in and do a ton with this. And they have a lot of different versions of this. Some of them are small. This is just the standard voice meter that we're looking at here. For those that can't see, it's a dark gray box with it looks just like a standard mixer with different sliders. Cool thing about this is it comes with a ton of effects in it too, so if you need to do some equalizing, if you need to do some compression, if you need to do just cleaning up your audio, this can handle a lot of that without having to use like an outboard compressor and a rack. I know a lot of us have those anyway, but this almost eliminates that need. It does a ton and ton of stuff, and it gets bigger too, because they make one called Voice Meter Banana. I don't know why they use names like this, but it's the same thing, except instead of having two inputs, you have three. And you can have hardware inputs, so if you have, say, an audio interface, you can separate those inputs and make them each a channel. And then it also has virtual inputs, which are like your computer sound. You can separate those by different channels as well. So if you want to mix, you know, a little bit more of, say, a music bed and a little bit less of the microphone, you can do that as well. It gives you a lot of that. Also, it has different output routing, so if you need to send things to different spots, you can send one line out of the back of your computer to, say, your barracks, and you can send the other line out of the back of your computer to a monitor in the room, and it will do all of that work for you, so you don't have to have a whole bunch of extra hardware when the software is doing it for you in the box. Yes, Amy? Not currently. The issue I have with my streams, I guess I'll grab a different. Where's the other mic? Okay. I ran into some limitations with our current hardware on the computer we have. I have to build a new one. And one of the issues is that WireReady doesn't work well with newer drivers. And I'm limited to what WireReady can do right now. Once I get our new system built, I'll have a lot more of a robust sound card. And it will allow me to do exactly that, which is what I'm really looking forward to, because having right now we're running two streams out of the back of one computer. One of them is coming out of the back of our USB audio interface. If any of this is like too much, just say something and I'll explain what I'm talking about. I use a lot of jargon, so And the other one is actually coming, our Springfield stream is coming straight out of the back of the computer through the speaker jack. So right now I'm kind of limited in that. So once I can actually go in and separate those streams out and use a different interface, I'll have a lot more versatility to be able to do stuff. Yes, Michael.
So do you have two instances of WireReady running on that one computer for your two streams?
No, I have one instance of WireReady running with two playlists. So the issue is that within WireReady, you can't have two playlists running at the same time on ASIO drivers, which are what most USB audio interfaces these days are using. WireReady is not compatible with those kind of drivers, which is kind of silly for me, but they need to work on that because the universe is going that with that style driver, and they're kind of playing catch up. So, and then they also make an even bigger one called VoiceMeter Potato. Really, I just hope they keep making funny names for more and more channels. And this one has five inputs that are manual. It's got three or four different virtual inputs, so you can route your computer sound through that, and then a ton of outs. It also has like a virtual tape deck on there, so you can play different files straight from this and mix those in and out if you want to as well. So this is cool because it gives you a lot of flexibility without having to have a multi-$1,000 mixer sitting next to your computer like a lot of us have to these days. Other cool thing about both of these programs is because they're so, when I say both, I mean Open Broadcaster and VB, is that they're both used so universally that you can find a billion tutorials for them, and there's probably a setup on YouTube exactly like what you need that some guy is doing in his basement right now, and he's got a great video of him in a cutoff t-shirt telling you all about it. So YouTube is your best resource for this kind of stuff. The University of YouTube. Questions about any of that stuff? Yeah, all right. Blank stares. I love them. Okay. How many of you guys have used GoldWave before? A few of you. Okay, cool. So we use GoldWave at Mind's Eye almost exclusively to do our audio editing in the studio. We record with a program called Hindenburg in the booths, and then once it's done there, it's exported, and then we do the majority of our editing in GoldWave because it's really robust. It can handle just about any file format you throw at it, including Apple formats. Mike, earlier you mentioned needing something that can actually read and export an MP4. GoldWave can do it. It can do AIFFs, it can do MP3s, .oggs, like it'll read literally anything and dump it out as a WAV file if you wanted to. And it also will convert to MP3, and it'll do all the good stuff that you need.
There's also screen reader scripts available for it.
Yeah, it's super accessible. Our former board op, Jim, was using it for years, and he preferred this over every other program that we had in the studio because it was that easy for him to maneuver. A couple of the cool things that GoldWave does, number one, it has a really cool little noise reduction plug-in in there, and all you have to do, it's just like it is in Audacity. You give it a sliver of audio, you copy it, and then you go into the plug-in and say, hey, actually, I can log in and do that right now if you guys want to watch me do some stuff, and I'll kind of audio describe. I'm actually logging into the Mind's Eye computer at the office right now, so there may be just a touch of lag. So let me bring a file up real quick, and I'll show you how you can do just a very quick comments. There we go. That's probably good. So this is actually a really clean file. I'm going to find a different one that's not so clean.
You ever notice how when you look for a rotten file, you
well, and yeah, and the thing is I had the Economist pegged earlier because it had a bunch of extra noise in the back of it, but my weekend board op, Rodney, just fixed it for us. So he did his job and actually killed my presentation in the process. Wellness and fitness looks like. That's pretty good. You can see, if you're looking at the audio, you can see kind of right down the middle where you see all the green line that's going straight across, right? You see how you see just a little snippet of green there. What you're seeing there, that's just noise, anything. It could be just white noise. It could be a fan. It could be just the microphone having a little bit of extra kick on the back end of it. And what you do with GoldWave is you zoom in on a section where you can find a little blank part, so too far, too much. And you would just, most of the time, I don't even need 10 seconds. I can get enough of a clip out of just half a second. And then you would just Control-C and copy that, right? And then you want to select the entire file after that so that everything's blue, and it still has that little snippet on the clipboard. And what you would do is you go to Effect and Filter, and under Filter, it says Noise Reduction. And then GoldWave comes with a ton of presets. You just go down to the preset that says Clipboard Noise Print. And if you notice, the waveform model here changed slightly to show exactly what the waveform is that it's trying to zero in on. And a lot of times you can tell if it's bumped right around the number 60, that's what's called 60 cycle hum. A lot of times if you have bad ground issues in somebody's house, or if they've got a fluorescent light on the same socket they have their microphone or computer plugged into, you'll get 60 cycle noise. It's just part of living in America, because we have different kinds of, you know, all the power in your house is 120 hertz, and if it's 60 cycle hum, that means half of that is missing, essentially. I know, I'm sorry.
It's fantastic.
Yes, so all you do is hit OK, and it would go through, and it's going to take it just a second because it's an hour-long file, and also our computer's ancient, and it likes to run slow. But it'll go in, and it'll actually suck out all of that stuff so that your file is a lot cleaner. It works great with, like if right now, you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would get rid of all of that. It would get rid of the dog barking in the background to an extent. It's going to get rid of a lot of just bad hum that happens because of bad wiring in somewhere.
Tom, there's no dog barking.
There is not. No, no.
Okay.
I'm good. I think I may be having a stroke, but I'm okay. No. What I'm talking about is the fan noise above us. So, Anthony, do you have something?
Yes, I do. So with noise reduction, do you ever adjust the amount of reduction you use? Oftentimes when I do noise reduction, I use Adobe Audition to do my production. And if I filter out too much, it'll get that robotic noise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to watch out for that, because once you start sucking out too many frequencies, you get some phase issues. Right. Anytime you're taking noise out, you're also removing the same frequencies that could potentially
be
part of their voice. So if you know, like I know my voice is real heavy around 1K, so if I suck out a lot of 1K, I'm going to sound real thin. So yeah, you do have to be careful with it. But if it's something like this where it's like a low hum in the background, it's not going to reduce a ton of that.
That's why they make the undo button.
Yep.
But how do you spend a lot of time?
Maybe. I don't know. Make you sound thin, how about that?
Do you spend a lot of time trying to figure out the best amount of noise reduction to use?
I would say the nice thing about GoldWave is by taking that clip and just inserting it in there, it kind of does that for you. You will find that if it's too far gone, any amount of noise reduction will make you sound terrible if you're doing too much of it. The trick is you just have to find the right frequencies when you're doing your noise clip and try not to grab anything that could potentially be, you know, a little sliver of voice.
This fan noise is a case in point.
Yep.
Can eliminate all of it, but you can play with it and eliminate. You can play with it and eliminate enough of the fan noise that the level of it is significantly lower without messing up the audio very much. You will lose, if somebody has a fairly deep voice, you'll lose the low end of the deep voice, or at least you will attenuate it some, because that's where most of the fan noise is.
Correct.
But overall, it'll improve the file and make it to when you normalize it, it's going to normalize to a more true level than it would otherwise if the fan noise were left untreated.
A couple other things the GoldWave does well. It does an incredible job time warping things. Oftentimes we get files that are an hour to 55, sometimes as low as 53, and they sound weird when I have to time warp them. But you can, the way we use GoldWave, we have two different time warp setup and plugins. One of them gets it close, and the other one gets it there. So the one that gets it close will stretch it and or shrink it without affecting the quality of the audio. But the one that gets it there, it's normally within half a second of 5730. You can't even tell the difference if that's the case. It just puts it right at 5730. And it also does a really good job of batch processing. I don't know how many of you guys have to sit there and stare at your computer all day and just process stuff over and over again. What I'll do is I will take a group of files. When I get there in the morning, there's normally five or six of them waiting for me. I'll quickly open them up and look at them to make sure there's no gaps or anything weird in them. And then I'll save them as the file name. And after that, once I get all five of those done, I'll load up our batch process, which is right here in part of the thing here. And what you do with batch processing is you set up different, you set up your settings within there. So I will go in and go, okay, well, I'm going to edit Madison County News, right? And the presets that I want to use are, we have a general program edit and a general program edit with compression. And I normally do the one with compression because most of our volunteers don't have a compressor anywhere near the rig. So it, you know, I just do it for them. And that not only takes the volume and matches it to the level that we need for broadcast, then it goes through and compresses all the peaks down so that it's nice and level and you get that FM quality audio. And then after that, it time stretches it to 5730. And that's four processes that it does to every file that I put into the list. And I set it and forget it. Walk away, answer some emails, eat some Chex Mix, yell at a volunteer, whatever you gotta do. And then when you come back in 10 minutes, you have five files that are all perfectly 5730. And yeah.
When you get home and everything, would you consider doing a little YouTube for all of us?
Yeah.
Because you know, I have all the, I got 60 dB and there's so many numbers. And
I know, I'm sorry.
No, not you. We use Audacity, and when all that stuff comes up, and I know I need to clean it up, and I'm sorry, I'm not as technical as I probably should be, but I don't know what those numbers mean. So I just mess with it until I've completely ruined the file. Mm-hmm. I loved your explanation of, you know, 60 dB, something, something, and then you said some other words. Would you do a thing for Idiot Mary on YouTube that we could put up?
Well, first of all, you're not an idiot. Thank Ask you. Me about fundraising, and I sound like an idiot too. So.
But I think a YouTube quickie Tom explanation on our website after we're done would be really valuable to newbies.
I think
yeah.
it would...
This is my
I think it would be something we could share with our remote readers
yeah.
too. You know,
yeah.
they loved that we did a how to add stuff to your
right.
file, and a lot of people love that. So to have a YouTube talking about fixing your file, I think it would inspire.
Well, yeah.
It would inspire some of them. It would scare some.
Well,
of them.
And the beautiful thing about Gold Wave is that it's not free, but you get a lifetime of it for $19. So we have had the same license for Gold Wave since I've started working for Mind's Eye. I still have the same product key and everything. And I've installed this program on three or four different production computers, two or three on-air computers, and a myriad of other things that we've had to use it for over the years with the same license. And we paid $20 for it in 2008, and it's still being updated right now. And every time it gets updated, it becomes modern. You know, it didn't have really good MP3 support 5 years ago, but now it does. You can save things in and out of there with MP3 super easy. So it does a ton for not a lot of money. I highly recommend it. And again, it's pretty accessible for you folks that need it to be. Next up, you guys ever notice how expensive like audio production software can be these days? I hadn't actually looked up what Pro Tools costs anymore because I just never used it. But I didn't realize to buy Pro Tools, it's going to cost you $300 a year for the subscription. And that's the most basic version. If you want anything that's going to give you anything, it's going to cost you upwards of $700 to $800 a year now. And I know, you know, TechSoup may offer something like that for us. So, but if you didn't have TechSoup to be able to supply software to us at a discount rate, we'd have to pay a buttload of money for these pieces of software. And really, up until recently, studios that wanted to use Pro Tools had to buy Avid-specific interfaces to go with it. You couldn't go to Guitar Center and buy a cheap $50 interface and let it work with Pro Tools. They required you to buy their $500 interface too. It's not going to get any cheaper to do this over the years. So it's important for us to find tools that maybe cost a little bit of money but are going to be there for a long time in quality. And then that's the same with Adobe Creative Cloud. Now that's a whole different ballgame because you're using a ton of stuff in there and you have to pay $55 a month to use it. But that's Photoshop, that's Illustrator, that's Premiere, that's Audition. If you're just getting Audition, it's $20 a month. So again, not the cheapest solution on the planet, but a lot of us use it. And if you can get it through TechSoup, you can get quite a bit. What are we paying a month for audition for TechSoup.
I don't know what TechSoup is.
Everybody here know what TechSoup is? Oh, man. Okay, so TechSoup is, how would you describe it, Angela? It's like a giant software, hardware.
Angela, my name's, sorry. Angela with Mind's Eye. So TechSoup is, you have to register. If you have to have a 501c3, like your federal ID, nonprofit tax number. But once you're registered with TechSoup, then you can go on. And so some things are a little wonky. So like with Adobe, we pay for a license that gets us a cheaper subscription. But if you, like, from things like software subscriptions to actual software to actual hardware, if you're needing to update your network devices, they've got to deal with Cisco Meraki, and you can get very discounted, firewalls and things like that. There's all sorts of resources on there for technology things. They also have TechSoup courses, and then with that you can get discounted training on things. So if you don't know how to use Excel, if you don't, and one thing, I'll just jump in real quick.
Go.
If you use Microsoft 365 or like O365, you use Business Premier or whatever, you have a lot of options too with what you can add on as on the nonprofit rate. If you are using O365 or Microsoft 365, you should be getting that for free. You should not be paying for that. Similar if you use Google, if you use like Google Suite. So it's the same idea, but one thing for my data nerds out there, if you're looking for a way, if you're just using like Excel spreadsheets and like making reports from that, or like pivot tables and things, and like your reports are really boring, like mine are, there's a program called, with Microsoft, it's called Power BI. And with that, you can, it's all data visualization. And if you are registered as a nonprofit through Microsoft, you can get Power BI for, you can get the premium or the pro version for free, and then the premium version for not that much. P-O-W-E-R-B-I, capital B, capital I.
B as in boy.
B as in boy, I as in ice cream that I would like right now. But it's, there's training there too. So TechSoup also has training on how to learn how to use Power BI, but it's really powerful. And if you struggle in Excel, word on the street that Power BI is easier to use, and then it creates these dashboards that you can then visualize your data for your board, for your constituents. I'm just diving into that because
that's what the session is.
Yeah, well, pivot tables. Yeah, it's a lot easier. So.
Now, along with software, what I was trying to mention before we went off on that tangent is the main audio production software I use personally is called Reaper. If you're using a full-fledged, program like Audition or Pro Tools or something like that, and you're looking for something that's relatively similar, very stable, and it's going to cost you a lot less money, this is every bit as capable of doing everything you need to do as a Pro Tools is, and it's $60 for a lifetime use. $60, and it's so good. I use it almost every day at home when I'm doing production stuff. I record guitars and stuff with this. I've done PSAs with this. During the pandemic, I recorded all the stuff that I did at home in Reaper and then uploaded it as an MP3 straight to Mind's Eye and used it there. So I cannot recommend Reaper enough. It is by far the best deal in audio production out there. It is fully compatible with every single plugin that you may want to use to make yourself sound better, and it comes with a ton of really cool plugins. Compression, it's got like four different compressors in it, and they all sound relatively great, and it just does everything, and it's multi-track, it's everything you need. Yeah, Mike?
If you have a blind editor that you need to teach it to, there is a training course available. It's not free. It's $50 or $60. I'd have to go back and look. It's from the Hartgen Consultancy, H-A-R-T-G-E-N Consultancy. They're in England. The same guy that does the Station Playlist Studio scripts and some other pretty amazing stuff. And there's also a set of JAWS scripts that enhance its use. Again, it can be used without JAWS. Reaper can, but it I mean, it can be used without the JavaScript, but they help it work better. I have not used it yet. It's on my to-do list.
Do it. That way you can give me a good recommendation. That's kind of what you're doing this.
Yes.
I'm going to plug your local library. There's probably, if you have a library card, your library probably has digital information that has all kinds of training sites that you can access. So some of the stuff that you need to be trained on, you could probably get at your library.
And again, Reaper has a really robust forum section. It has a great subreddit that you can go to. Who needs it?
Amy.
Amy. And also, again, YouTube. There are thousands of videos out there that will teach you how to use Reaper.
I was going to say, if your local library doesn't have it, I think the New York Public Library is giving out basically cards to anyone in the U.S. to use their free internet stuff.
New York Public Library.
I think so.
That's very cool. Anybody have questions, comments about that one? Okay. Yay, more deadpan stuff. I'm a big fan of effects plugins, stuff that's going to make people sound better. A lot of times our volunteers are using just a $30 Amazon mic plugged into a computer or their phone. So anything we can do to dress that up and make it sound fuller is very helpful. And a lot of times when you start getting into effects and start moving knobs, like Mary Frances said, you can get lost in there because there's just so much information. Like, you try messing with a compressor that's not hardware mounted, like a rack mounted version, and without having knobs to turn, it makes it a lot harder. I've been using a program or a group of effects called Easy Mix 2 for several years, and what that is it's not only just a bunch of dumb effects that work well for music, but it's also got some incredibly robust vocal effects in it. Things like compression, exciters, expanders, things that'll make your voice just fuller. And if you can make a thin foam sound fuller, you're doing a good job. This, again, isn't free. You can snag this on sale for less than $100 most of the time, and it comes with hundreds of settings in them. And again, some of your mileage may vary with some of it. Like, I don't think we need to be adding a big ambient reverb to somebody's newspaper recordings. It's in there if you want to do some fun stuff. But if you're doing...
Yes.
Like, you want them to sound like the voice of God while they're reading the grocery ads. So.
Yeah. Obituary.
If you want to add a little bit of that, that kind of monk music in the background, just...
yourself with a ghost pepper cheese.
Right.
So, what this will do is it'll give you a ton of tools. So if you're creating PSAs and you want to go in and make some fun noises with some voices and you want to make make it sound like you got to be there today, you can do that with this. Right. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. You can do that. It'll give you a lot of that, and it all sounds great. And again, it's relatively inexpensive considering some of these plugins would cost you $200-$300 for each of them. Just a compressor. A compressor sometimes, the nice ones will cost you $200-$300 for just the plugin, to the audio. Oh yeah, we always talk about needing music, right? Everybody needs stock music, royalty-free music. That's another thing that streaming has really done, is because people are posting stuff on YouTube all the time now, they need music to fill in the background, and it can't be copyrighted. I see you back there, Warren. You can't use copyrighted material, right? So the second you put Guns N' Roses behind your video, they're going to pull it right off of YouTube. So what that's created is a demand for free music. People just want you to put their name somewhere, either on your video at the bottom or on your website somewhere. As long as you're attributing it to who it's from, you can use royalty-free music like this. And I like to use freestockmusic.com. It's free-stock-music.com. And they have a great kind of a setup here where you can either go in and they have free downloads of MP3s. Some of this stuff is real, I was listening to, I like chill hop when I'm working on stuff, so it's kind of nice little chill music for the background. Good morning and welcome to Mind's Eye. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the last 17 murders in St. Louis. I'm sorry, I'm dark, what do you want from me? You put me in front of people, I say ridiculous things. They do have some folks that want you to pay a couple of bucks for some of their songs. Use them, pay them if you want, but there's just tons of stuff on here. If you need background music for anything, that's my first stop. Yes, Mary Frances.
Well, this isn't Mary Frances.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is
Evan's first.
I just wanted to make sure. So plugins are different formats. Those are VST plugins that you were just talking about a couple minutes ago.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, cool, because those will work with things like Audacity and Goldwave.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. VST plugins are just a format, how they make them, and certain programs have to read certain types of them. Like Apple computers can use VSTs, but they also have their own native kind. But yeah, these are all VSTs. I don't recommend anything that isn't a VST because it's not super compatible these days.
There's another website called bensound.com, bnsound.com.
What is it?
Ben.
Like a bend in the road?
Like Ben.
Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin, bensound.com. So Ben Sound has a brother who is blind, and as a benefit of your IAAS membership fee, he is allowing us to use anything in their free library. And it's all production music like this, as long as we attribute bensound.com somewhere. Dale, Scott, do you ever say, and thanks to Bensound, we say it every day at our reading of the Des Moines Register with, you know, support for today's program comes from, and also thanks to our friends at bensound.com. And just by saying it once, we're allowed to use anything in the library that's free, and then of course buy something if you want. But interesting thing about Bensound Music is we were using them 5 years ago when we changed our music, and now I'm hearing him on, hearing our songs on other like commercials and stuff. So he's finding a following.
Next up is something a little bit more on the techie side again. So VLC Media Player has been around for a really long time. I don't know if anybody here has ever played with it, but it's essentially an open source version of Windows Media Player with some extra stuff bundled in that you can do. And the reason I bring this one up is not because I think we need to be able to play movies and music, but you can actually set up this program to be a virtual barracks in your computer. So if you need to stream audio to a barracks on the other side of the, you know, city, you can do it with this without having to have a physical barracks box in your building. So if your barracks dies and you need something in a pinch, you can use this. And it's become so common for the people to use this that actually if you go to Barracks' website, they have a whole list of directions in a giant PDF that's currently a big black blob on my computer for some reason, that will give you specific instructions as to how to set up that program to run as your barracks. So, you know, I know our barracks is aging. It's probably 10 years old at this point. It's probably about time for us to start looking at a new one. When I build our new on-air computer, I'm going to try to find a way to not need more hardware and do it all within the computer. So I'm going to try this first before we end up going and getting a new several hundred dollar barracks. You know, it's very rare that barracks is crap out. Like, they're the most stable devices I've ever dealt with. But if you need it, it's a great tool to use, and you can also watch movies on it.
Does everybody know what a barracks is?
Yes. Does anybody not know what a barracks is? It's a streaming device. Basically, your audio comes out of your computer and goes into the barracks. The barracks then turns it into a digital signal that it then sends over the internet to another barracks at your tower site, so that then it just decodes it and then broadcasts it out. So it's essentially just like a fancy internet cable that goes from one end of the city to the other.
Nice.
Yeah. Laura, you want to talk about how everybody know? Yes.
Just had a thought. We are in the process of creating new relationships with long-term care facilities, nursing homes, assisted living, etc. And we have a brand new one, and they are super excited, and they are now working with our tech folks to install a barracks box in their facility. So, is it possible to do this with, like, try this with another facility where it's just virtual? I mean, do you recommend that?
No. What you said makes total sense. I just don't know yet because I haven't done it. But there's tons of videos out there and websites that have said, yes, it's possible. What we've done with our barracks is a little different. Instead of connecting directly from one to the other, our barracks streams our signal to our stream on our website, and the barracks on the other end is actually picking up the stream on the website. So instead of having to move audio 2 to 3 different places, I move audio to one place, and then I feed everything I need off of that.
That's how we do it.
Yeah. So if you get on our website and click the play button on our stream, you're getting the exact same signal that our barracks is pulling from at our tower site. It was a simpler setup for me. It seemed like it was a little bit more reliable. Instead of having to check one, you know, 4 things to see if they were working, I check one. If I know something's not right, if the barracks isn't working on the other end of the tower site and the stream is still working on our website. So then I know exactly that the issue isn't our barracks in the office, the issue isn't our website. It tells me right then and there the issue's at our tower and I need to get in the car, go down there and figure out the problem.
Can you say that again?
Yeah.
You stream your barracks to your website.
Correct. Correct. It's just what the stream is, a single link. Just like any other stream, when you click on it, it takes you to a section of our website, or no, our streaming stream guys website, and that's where we pull everything from. So we have 2 of those, one for St. Louis and one for Springfield. And what we'll do is just have 2 signals going out of 2 different barracks in our office, and then any signal that needs to be picked up can grab those streams and use them anytime they need. And again, it helps me kind of streamline the process. That way I can troubleshoot a lot quicker instead of having to go check 4 different places to see which one's broke. You know, if I know one's broke and the other one's not, then I'm good. I just need to get in the car, go to the tower, and reset the router again, because that's normally the problem.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want a clarifying question. So your barracks, you're picking up right over here.
Oh, hi.
Howdy, sir. So you're picking up the stream. You're doing it in the office. You're picking up the stream. We're actually doing it since the tower, and you're picking up the stream from the tower.
No, I'm picking up the stream from the office.
Okay, just one clarification.
Yeah. That's the stream. Yeah, the board feeds the barracks in our office,
okay.
And then that barracks feeds our stream that's on our website, and it's and then our barracks in the tower actually feeds right off of that as well.
Okay.
So it's one signal all the way through.
Easy enough.
Yep. Okay, Laura, can you tell us a little bit? Canva. Does everybody understand Canva? Know what Canva is? A lot of folks use it these days. There's a lot of never heard of it. That means.
So Canva is free to nonprofits.
Who are you and what do you look like?
I'm Laura from Mind's Eye. I am a 40-year-old Caucasian, light-skinned female with short blonde hair.
There you go.
And I walk funny today because we're at race this morning.
You did Dan the Dan.
So yeah, I do marketing and communications and development for Mind's Eye. So I generate a lot of graphics, and we do that exclusively in Canva. So you can get a free version as a nonprofit. I definitely recommend doing that. There's a lot more available when you're using the free Canva Pro. They have a lot of templates. You can search, Valentine's Day. I want to do a Valentine's Day post on my social media. Search Valentine's Day. They'll give you free Valentine's Day graphics in various sizes and formats for a Facebook post, a Facebook cover, an event cover, Instagram, whatever you want to do, and then you can just upload your logo and drop it on there. You can upload your logo. You can use a function to remove the background of it so that you can just lay it on top of that. So it's just really simple to use, and one of the best functions in Pro is resizing things. So if you create a Facebook post that you like and you want to put that across all your social media channels, you can just quickly resize it. It also has a lot of free graphics, when we started serving Springfield, Illinois, we wanted pictures of the Capitol building to put on a blog post about how we're serving Springfield, Illinois, and you can go there and just grab free photos if you search various sites. Oh, is that where you got them?
I wondered
how you got that logo.
I wondered about that. This whole thing was built in Canva, and I did do some color adjustments. But if you're not signed up as a nonprofit, because it's a bajillion times more powerful, the Pro version than just the basic.
Can you talk about the printing that we do from
that? The Angela with Mind's Eye. The other thing that's great about Canva, when you set up a Pro account, you get a team. So we did not set it up that way at first, so it was under one email address, and if we scrolled, you would see the mighty power of how much we use Canva. But you can set it up individual teams. So if I'm working, so if Megan's working on audio description ads, and I'm working on something else, but she wants to see my, she can share that to me. We can comment back. So you can leave comments on images, so you can collaborate within Canva and set up teams that way. You can also print from Canva, and we've had a lot of success with printing invitations to our volunteer appreciation, just all sorts of different documents. And something new that they've done is you don't even have to wait for shipping for some of these things, because you can print to print to pickup or print to delivery, and they will print to your local, if it's available, your local FedEx store. So if you're like, oh wow, it's Wednesday, we're going to the Lions Club on Saturday, and we need brochures like now, it's free, and it's usually, at the start, it was like same day processing. So they would get it, you would get a notification same day. So now it's like a day or two turnover, but you can get good quality printing. We did have some mess ups too, where the print quality wasn't great. You just contact customer service and they'll either give you a coupon for a discount for your next order. We had like 10 of like 200 Christmas cards go bad printing, and they just refunded the whole thing if you speak up. So it's not always quite perfect, but they do work real, their customer service is really great on that end too.
That was all Angela.
So my question was, are you talking about the free version of Canva, or is this the usually paid version and you're getting it for free because we're 501c3s?
Yes. Canva Pro, yeah. We get it for free.
Okay. And the only thing are you going to talk about?
Through Canva. Sorry, there was this question about through TechSoup. Canva makes the...
Yeah, no. Yeah, through Canva, exactly.
Right now, I just wanted like that to be said out loud. You started our Canva.
Oh yeah, you just have there. If you go to canva.com, if you scroll, I don't know exactly where, but you go on the website somewhere when you sign up. If there's a link to go to like their four nonprofits through there. They also have some things that they integrate with social media and stuff like that, which we don't use. But I can say the printing is fantastic. So.
It's canva.com.
Canva. .com. There's also something called Canvas that's used, I think, collaborating. The University of Kansas uses it for coursework, and so if I'm like not paying attention, I end up on the Canvas page instead of the Canva page. So.
Yeah, go for it.
Something else just occurred to me too. If anyone else is doing like writing of press releases, you can get a free Grammarly account as a 501c3. That's kind of fun because it tells you like how many more unique words you use than all the other users, so it's good for your ego. Also Handbrake is another free program that I use that I don't know if anyone ever like struggles, and this may not be the best way to do this, but when we are sharing videos to social media, I don't want to share a YouTube link. I want to like embed the video. I want it to be in native so that it autoplays for people. And you know, besides, in addition to accessibility being very important, people are more likely to watch videos when they have the captions burned in. And so I do that in Handbrake. This is kind of roundabout. I don't know if it's the best way to do it, but I upload the video to YouTube and let it auto-generate captions, and then I correct them and download that file, and then you can burn those captions into your video using Handbrake, which is kind of nice.
You can also use Handbrake to rip unprotected DVDs.
Thank you, Anthony.
I just wanted to say,
not that we would do anything illegal.
Notice how I said unprotected. In other words, if it's a licensed DVD, it's still, you can't do it.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know, sometimes you see free stuff, you're not sure if it's any good, any worth anything. Have you ever used Fiverr to create a brand new logo? So I used it, and we had to create a logo for a major event. Someone told me about it, and the only thing is it takes a lot of time at first because there's like thousands of artists, graphic artists, that are loading their stuff in there. But I got like the sweetest logo for an event for $50. And it came in PNG, you know, with all the various versions, but it's F-I-V-E-R-R .com.
And Fiverr, I just got an email. I don't know what the deal is, but TechSoup emailed me about something with Fiverr where you can get like some like unlimited plan. It was like $50 and then you had access to something. There's deals, pretty much any software subscription that you were probably using, it's worth looking on TechSoup to see if you could get like a free or Zoom also. You can get, if you're paying for like a paid Zoom account, I think it's like half off or something like that annually, so.
So Photoshop can be expensive. Again, there is a open source free version of Photoshop essentially called GIMP, which sounds terrible, but what it means is GNU Image Manipulation Program, and I've used this in the past for t-shirt designs, band logos, and stuff like that. If you ever need something inexpensive to allow you to go in and actually layer, you know, different images on top of one another, color, do whatever you want to do to it, it's just, it's not as snazzy as Photoshop is. It doesn't really look as nice once you're in there and working with it, but it's fully functional. It does everything you need it to do, and it's free. So I recommend this guy if you need to do some graphic design in a pinch. And the last thing I'm going to show you guys is a video editing software called OpenShot. And this was actually something a friend of mine recommended to me. I was trying to figure out a way to start making YouTube videos. I like to barbecue. I was going to start making barbecue YouTube videos last year, and that never really panned out. But this guy recommended that I try using this, and it's pretty cool. It's a standard video editing software, just like any other, just like Premiere is. You can drag and drop audio and video in there, arrange it, you can add effects to it, you can add different transitions, you can recolor things and do just tons of stuff with it. And it's, again, free. So there's all your free shit.
Good job.
Two programs right quick. If you're looking for a file and you know it's on your computer somewhere and it's not anywhere you think it should be.
Stop it. You're talking about me.
There's a little program called Everything. And I can put the link on the Facebook page or whatever for the installer of it. It's free. It will search your entire hard drive. If you've got hard drives connected to your computer, it will search them. You can tell it to only search a given folder. What I use it for a lot of times, if I want a list of files, a text file list of what's in a given folder, music folder in particular, it will export whatever it finds in that folder into either a text file or a spreadsheet file. It's called Everything. There's another one called Virtual Recorder. If you want to record whatever's going through your computer sound card in the background, simply load this thing. You don't have to mess around with the sound card settings or any of that stuff like you would have to do maybe if you were using Reaper or Go Wave or something else to record the sound card. There would be maybe some sound card settings you would need to change to make that work. Load a virtual recorder, start it recording, and whatever goes through your sound card gets recorded into either a Wave or MP3 file depending on what you set it for. It is not an editor. It is a start recording, stop recording piece of software. That's all it does.
Mike, do you have any idea how much time you just saved me with this Everything program?
I know how much time I've saved myself. I use Virtual Recorder a lot. If you want to record a YouTube, something you're looking at on YouTube, listening to on YouTube, I don't think it does video, but it will do audio, and so you can record whatever, anything that goes through your sound card, it will record.
Very cool. Thank you.
It said, when you popped it up, Virtual Recorder for Android.
Yeah, that wasn't the right one. There's a few of them on here. I'm trying to...
Because I was wondering if that could be something that Android users could use to record on their phone if they didn't
have a recording app.
I mean, you could, but just bear in mind, there's no backup, no undo button, it's not
active. The app is currently not active on Google Play.
Okay.
All right, anybody have anything else?
Other free stuff that people should know about?
Yes, Amy.
Amy.
right, so if y'all are like me and you have no working memory and you can't remember any of the things you have to do, I use Microsoft To Do. It's just To Do. It's free. You can download the app on your phone, your tablet. I also download it on my computer, and it syncs, and you can set it up to tell you when you need to do it. So, and you can like have it repeat. So like I have an annual meeting to say start the annual report, start, you know, the listener survey, all that stuff. I love it. It is free.
Earlier I mentioned Art Hadley. Yes. Yeah. Talk about Level Later. Yes.
That's awesome.
That was my first conference, and that was one of the things that Art, who is retired from Audio Reader now, taught me. And what Level Later does, if anyone doesn't know about this program, is, first of all, it's free. It downloads to your desktop, and it takes any WAV file. You grab your file, move it over the Level Later logo on your desktop, and it will make that file. I don't want to say.
I brought it up here on the screen so you can actually look at it.
And I don't want to use the word normalize, because typically if you normalize.
It does a lot more than that.
Yeah, so say you've got a volunteer who maybe they're really up close to their mic sometimes, and then sometimes they go like that, and then they're back like this. It will even out all of that audio and make it level.
So. Up here I actually have a session of Reaper I opened up earlier, and I just wanted to show you guys an example of what Level Later does. The top one is The Economist from this morning that just came through. And you can tell there's lots of peaks, there's lots of valleys in that audio, lots of, you know, probably S's and T's and P's that are being popped right there. Level Later is being used on the second track. Now it looks fuller, because it took all the stuff that was lower and brought it down, or brought it up, and then it also squeezed some of the stuff that was peaking a little bit too high and kind of capped it off so that it's not going to be as thunderous whenever you have to listen to it. So that's not really a great example, because I put Level Later in with audio that sometimes I have one volunteer whose microphone is kind of funky, and she'll send me audio, and it'll be the tiniest little line. And once you increase the volume, it sounds fine. It's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just super quiet. Level Later makes it perfect every time.
And if you have different volunteers reading different ways in different locations and different homes, I run everything that they do for the newspaper, everything through the Level Later, because it makes all these different files the same sound. So when I put all these files together for our newspaper, it's all the same audio level.
Now, I will say that Level Later has been around for a long time.
No.
It's an older program, and it hasn't been updated since 2010, but it still works beautifully. You can download it anywhere on the internet. Just look up Level Later. L-E-V-E-L-A-T-O-R.
It will work with Windows 10. I wasn't sure if it would.
Oh, yeah. It's working on Windows 10 right now. It worked perfectly. Now, it's not the quickest program in the world. You put a file in there, and if you don't have a horse of a computer, it'll take a couple of minutes to churn one out for me, so don't expect it to do it in a heartbeat, but it'll do everything you need it to do to get everything nice and consistent.
Becca at Radio Technical Service, an endorsement of Level Later. We Level Later everything that comes through, because it just makes our whole broadcast sound better. Also, we use Switch Sound Converter. I know you all were talking about, oh, what do I do with M4As and what do I do with these? We use Switch Sound Converter. As far as I know, it's free, and it's fantastic. You just grab everything, drop it in there, it spits it out, and then you drop it in Level Later and rename it and put it in the broadcast. So Switch Sound Converter.
You'll get a thing when you first install it, when you buy it. There is a paid version, and I don't know whether you're going to start a Switch by a company called NCS Sound or something like that. They sell several little small recording programs and editing programs and so forth, but Switch is really good.
Bailey?
This is Bailey at the Recording Library. If you're like me and you put photos with sound bites on Facebook, addmusictophoto.com is free, and it takes 2 seconds to upload a picture as well as sound bites. So like Michael will do promos for whatever Audio Describe movie we're running on Saturdays. So I'll find the title of the movie or the picture of the movie and add it to his soundbite for social media.
What is it again?
It's called addmusictophoto.com. Addmusictophoto.com. And it's really simple. MP3.
All right, going back here to Evan. Ooh, you didn't eat your snack.
I know I did.
Oh no, that's not what I like to hear.
Well, that is definitely an epiphany. But so here's a couple of things. We were talking about free music, and also sound effects are pretty important.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure a lot of reading services have YouTube channels. If not, you should get one. But we use their, they have an amazing audio library that I'm pretty sure a lot of people have access to. I know we do, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure every YouTube channel has access, but you can get all sorts of free music sorted by category. What's also nice is you can get stings. That's what they are for people who aren't really in the audio business, are like ends or little short bits of a song, and we use those like between our programming at the end of a program as like an interlude, and those are super nice. And of course you can get sound effects. But the other thing is, since a lot of reading services, you know, a lot of your audience is blind or visually impaired and of course cannot read print, Braille is the best option. Braille translation software is expensive. I use a beautiful piece of software made by APH called Braille Blaster. Yeah. And all you literally do is you open it, you throw a Word document into it, it does all the rest. And then you hit emboss, or you can just send it to other, if you have a third party that embosses it, you can send them the BRF and then they can get it to you just, you know, a little bit quicker. So that
it updates about once a month.
Yes, and it's also for Windows, Mac, and Linux. For anybody that's into that.
Also, sound effects. I don't think reading services as a whole uses enough slide whistle. We all could use more slide whistle, especially during those really bad stories.
We have a need for a text-to-voice translator. We're doing a big project that we just don't have the manpower for. So I have found this really good text-to-speech translator called Cucarella.
Spell it!
Kukarella. There is a free version, Kukarella. Tom, if you can bring it up, check it out, it's really cool.
I'll do that.
They have a free version of it, which is real basic, and then you can purchase it. I've worked with the owner, and he's really cool. He gave me a really nice discount because I'm a nonprofit reading service. And they have like about 150 voices you can choose from. And
how many words would the free version let you translate? A lot of the full version translate over,
What's that like?
How much?
I don't know. There's a whole, they have a whole bunch of different.
You can't run more than each through it.
Well, it depends what you're doing. They convert text to speech. You can do audio transcription, and just depending on what you need it for. Check out the voice. Let's see. I use Lisa C. and Chris and Christopher or Chris. The male and female voice I'm using.
Hello, I'm Tom. Hello, I'm Tom.
And if you do something longer, it actually doesn't sound awful. And like I said, for the project that we're working on, we have to use that.
Tom is typing, I enjoy long walks on the beach.
She's gonna read it. Pina coladas.
Sorry, I'm just like excessive.
I don't know how to spell frolicking, apparently. Ceramic dolls really aren't my thing. But.
Hello, I'm Tom. I enjoy long walks on the beach, frolicking in meadows, making ceramic dolls in Star Wars.
Is that a danger of replacing reading services?
Yeah,
is that
a
danger of
replacing?
Only if you let it be.
Try Christopher. And they have kids' voices too.
Oh, I don't want to do that. Where's Christopher? Everybody keep talking while it's preparing.
Hello, I'm Tom. I enjoy long walks on the beach, frolicking in meadows, making ceramic dolls and Star Wars.
God, I love my life.
Angela with Mind's Eye here. For all of you folks who make lots of meetings and are doing the back and forth email, hey, let's schedule a meeting at this time and this time, and you just do the back and forth thing. Calendly, if you haven't heard of Calendly, CalendlyCalendly.com. You can do a free account and it lets you set up one event. But they do have a nonprofit discount, and then they have like individual nonprofit discount, and then you can get one for your team. So it's really great for Laura. She uses it. She's got several different events, so she can have one, and it's called ear-to-ear interviews. And so what you do is, it's not another calendar. You can link up to 2 to 3 calendars or so. So you can, if you have a Google calendar, you can link your Google calendar, you can link your work calendar, like if you use Outlook or whatever. And then when somebody goes to you, you get your own personal calendar URL. Mine is calendly.com/Angela B618 or something. I don't remember what it is. And so when somebody, I would say, hey, I have a let's chat meeting. And it's just it's set 15 minutes. They can choose, you can choose the preset. So if you only want the meeting to be a phone call, all it is a phone call option. If you want to give them the option to come in person, you can put a location. If you're like always have meetings, coffee meetings with board members at a certain spot, you can set that as the location. It can be Teams meetings, it can be Zoom meetings. You can let the person scheduling choose how they want to meet with you. You can send it to different groups. So if you are in a team, I can set up a group. So if Laura and I are trying to meet with an individual, it's like, hey, meet with Laura and Angela. And then it links both of our calendars. So it will only show options to schedule on the days that you are both mutual, on the days and times that you're both mutually available. And you can set your work hours. If you're like, I don't ever want to talk to anybody or have meetings on a Tuesday, you can block out your calendar. You can set buffer times. So it's really, really great if you just like find yourself doing the email dance, scheduling meetings. It's great for volunteers, just if you're scheduling interviews and all of that. So Calendly is a really good, you can also do, I didn't use it, Megan did, but there's options to do polls on meetings. So you can send out, hey, we want to have a committee meeting, here are a few days, and then you send that invite to everybody that's supposed to be at that committee meeting, and then they can choose the best times, and then they vote, and then you can make your, scheduling decision that way. So it's a huge time saver.
Sign Up Genius, everybody knows about that one? It's free. Yeah?
Okay. I was curious for that form about the banquet and the airport.
Yep.
Yeah, that was easy to fill out too.
JOT form. JOT form.
That's the French version.
What? The French version. JOT form. We pay, I think, $15 a month. I know that sounds like a lot, but I migrated our volunteer application, our listener application, and then any other forms I need to make, including the ones you all filled out, the housekeeping one. And the reason I migrated is because it's accessible. And it's super responsive to magnification and different things where the forms I was using before wasn't. So JOT form. We pay, like I said, $15 a month, but the best part is on the back side of it, I can download an Excel spreadsheet of all your responses. And I always have, I get PDFs of all of our volunteer and listener applications, so it's served us well. SurveyMonkey, you've all tried that. Did you know the free version will walk you down after 40 responses?
Yeah.
Is everyone aware? I just want to make sure you all know you only get 40 before you send out a big survey that's really important. And you only get 40 back. So I didn't know about that. And then team up. Everybody know about that calendar? Yes. Some faces. We use it. I stole it from this conference from Kansas, probably. But it is an online calendar system, and that's how we schedule all of our volunteers and all of our shows. Is there anything else we use, Andrew? GroupMe. Everybody know that one?
We use TeamUp to schedule studios, assignments, telephone assignments, in-studio reading assignments, audio description calendar, outreach calendar. You can have as many calendars as you want, and so you can pick and choose. You can show all of the programs, or you can only show the broadcast programs. You can, it's really done a lot of things.
Go to volunteer schedules.
We use TeamUp to schedule all of our studios and what the volunteers are reading.
Yep, that's ours.
Yeah, it's really good. And if you do, like, click on a day, can you do just one day?
Up and to the right.
Yeah, and then you can also do list. Click on list, because that, so then you can see who's coming in when, reading what. We love it.
It's not free. I mean, you can have up to 8 calendars for free. And after that, you have to pay, I think we're $12 a month. We were free until the pandemic when I realized I needed way more calendars. And so now we have 12 or 15. But also, it's really accessible on your mobile device. And the other one that Iris uses a lot is GroupMe, which GRUPME. It's just a simple app of communicating, and it's become, with one employee out of town who is blind, and he does not, you know, he's not checking his texts all the time, or when he's working on his computer, in order to check his texts, he has to pick up a device. We just got him a smartphone. Boy, had a flip until Christmas. But it's easiest for us to work together. It's a simple message that goes out to as many or as few of our whole working team.
Is that like
I don't know Slack. I know I should know Slack, but GroupMe is just what we've been using. It's accessible for Jay, and they're just quick little deals, but they can go out, and also I can watch, if I'm not in the office, I can watch my employees talk to each other, you know, or they can ask me a question, or a question can go out to everybody all at once. Anyway, super simple. GroupMe.
I like that.
That's just some of the administrative stuff.
This is George again. Another thing with Team Up, you can color code. Like, we have all of our sub needs in red, and you can give volunteers the link, and you can just give them a view only link, and then they can scroll and see what subs are needed and call and email us and take us up.
Yeah, you can lock it. Okay, anyone in the world can look at this. So, but they can't change it.
I was also going to say, we use it as well, and we have it open, and we've had great luck with it. I know everyone is always worried that volunteers are going to mess it up, that they're going to make up their own
time.
But honestly, we decided to give it a try, and I think there's been two times where someone has made up their own time in the almost a year now that we've been using it. The only other thing that tends to happen sometimes is they'll accidentally delete one slot. We make all of our booth slots, our time slots, recurring. So they have the option to either always have that booth time or simply do a one-off if they want. And honestly, and I know everyone's volunteers are different, and I know all of us operate differently, but I do encourage you all that even if you hear one person say, we've had terrible experience doing it this way, maybe still give it a try because it might work with yours, and give your volunteers more credit, I think, sometimes than we do. They really have operated well within it. We give them the list version. They do have their own, like we have a staff one that we also utilize, but we give them, their default is this list. It has the booth one, 9 a.m., and then it says open, and they can click on that, and they add their own name. And it's went really, really well. We were nervous, of course, but it's went really well, so.
I have volunteers across the state, some that I've never met, of our home readers, and my Des Moines team is my youngest team, and I don't mean to be ageist, and
in August, I'm going to be quite an age that I don't worry about that anymore because I'll be an old lady. But it is too hard for some of our folks. I think it's case by case. And the fact that I've never met them and I can't be with them to train them and talk to them. But the other thing about this, there's a gentleman in the room who wrote me a piece of script. Every Wednesday, we send out our upcoming openings for the following week email. And Scott wrote a little script that I can load up and load in my start and end dates for, like, here are openings for the next 2 weeks. And you hit go, and it gives us a whole long list that then we copy and paste into the email. And I'd be willing, Scott, if you'd be willing, you know, if someone would like to see how that works. It's super simple. It takes this big complicated calendar and turns it into a neat little lip. You want that? Y'all want that? Okay, Scott gets $1.28 for every.
I'll give him $1.50.
And then with our newspapers disintegrating, I wouldn't have known we're not going to have a 4th of July paper unless Carol Hunter had been here yesterday. And I poked her to ask her. Because on Labor Day, the Register didn't print for the first time ever, and we didn't know. And so volunteers showed up, and I'm like, oh, it just must be the download's not right. No, there's no dang paper. It was all again. So there's no paper on the 4th of July. There's no paper on the 4th of July.
Memorial
Day. So what are we going to air? Well, over the Christmas time, no paper time, we hadn't done audio described movies before. But this year, over those hours and hours we need to fill, I loaded it up with audio described movies. Where do you get those? Some of you have them on DST, or you have libraries of them. AudioVault.net has a wonderful catalog of audio described movies. You do have to register, but you don't have to pay. And we pulled stuff out, everything from Scrooged to, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. What else do we do? Airplane.
I'm cruising through the list right now.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of sending them your name and email, and then you can click on stuff. The search stuff is not that dynamic. I mean, it's a little, what are you searching for? Mama's Family, okay? Night Court.
Y'all don't remember Night Court?
Like TV shows.
Yeah, I know.
It's got television shows as well. And we did run episodes of something. For New Year's Eve, I ran an episode of The Office New Year's Eve episode. So this is pretty great. And then now when you download it, they're not going to be the right time. You're going to have to play some reindeer games. But like for the Register, I edited two movies together to make one big 3-hour file. So you're going to have to do a little editing, but audiovault.net saved my bacon over the holidays, and I'll probably run Independence Day and stuff on the 4th of July, so that's another good one. Mike's got more. See, how good is free stuff? And we're going to hear from you, Renee, because you're also free stuff. What, you're not complaining?
Not free stuff, but just to add to what you said, programming stuff. For Thanksgiving, I ran all of the Friends Thanksgiving episodes.
Oh, those are good ones.
You can get them here.
Yeah.
So.
No, actually, I got them off Amazon Prime, and I recorded them in real time.
We're going to talk about that later. Okay. We'll give you a way to do that.
So, I have a question about that.
Yes, ma'am. Here I come, Ben.
Here I am, and I just keep thinking of Ren.
So I have a question, because this is something that's very dear to my heart, and at AIMC, we really would love to have a movie audio describe program that, like, every Friday, and we even use it possibly as a fundraiser, but we didn't. What are the concerns about copyright, especially whoever was up there said that sounded like bootlegging something with Amazon and Friends. So with these, what was it, Audio Vault, so we could literally pull these off and broadcast them for free?
You
without
can.
Andrea runs.
Not to say you should, but you can.
Every Saturday night. Where'd you go?
So there's no copyright issues?
I mean, there's always potential ones.
but I doubt highly somebody's going to come after you for playing a Thanksgiving episode of Friends on Thanksgiving for blind folks. Like that, okay. That seems like that's going to be a stretch.
But if we had, like, if this became, like, a regular programming where somebody can, like, every Friday we're going to put out a film.
American Council.
Do you think that's too much, or?
To whatever stream.
When Andrew comes back.
Okay. All right, Andrew.
Okay. I thought you might want to.
This is Laura from my side. I have a question for the group about free stuff. Has anyone found a good quality free audio recording of the Bible?
You can get the Bible in a lot of places.
Whenever I'm tabling events, the number one request, and I'd love to say, yes, we have a copy of the audio recording of the Bible on our app. And while you're there,
and as they update it, there's like a button down there you can look at what's the latest.
Yes.
Do you also have the Quran?
Yeah, get this out there.
The Torah. You've got to be careful on the Jesus.
So,
we just get asked a lot. You know, it would be nice to have somewhere to refer people. We don't do that, but a lot does.
This is Kim from AINC. So if I get asked for a Bible, a Torah, a print, I send them to the Talking Book Library, because the Colorado Talking Book Library will provide them any sacred book they want, and they don't have to return it. So it's not like something not an age return. So I always send them there because they have them all. So that's what we do for that. We don't record them. Every state has their Talking Book Library. So for us, it's the Colorado Talking Book Library.
So they sign up for Talking Books.
Yeah, you sign up for Talking Books, and then they'll give them a free whatever sacred text they want.
And they're on
Bard. Yeah, you can download them.
There are a whole bunch of sites that give them and sell them, but as far as putting it on to say, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't fulfill your purpose of what you're trying to do, but.
Wait a minute, what you've got, the normal Bible, the Torah, you mean you just have to say, we just use the first five books that are in. We have Torah and Bible together, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of.
The Torah is the first five books of the Bible.
Right, so if you put the Bible on there, you got two bases coming.
No, I don't think that's how that works. Just Angela with Mind's Eye. Just a quick, is anybody actually using Microsoft, like O365, Office 365 for their? Okay. Just like, and you're using like SharePoint and Forms and all of those things, just making sure, okay, because like we had it for a long time, and it wasn't until the pandemic that made us click into those, like into Forms and a few other of those applications that you see them in and you're like, I don't need to deal with that, so just want to make sure.
I'm not sure we used that. We just switched over to something.
Yeah, because Forms is really, that's where we have some of our instead of using SurveyMonkey, that's our listener form is in there, because you can pull Excel spreadsheets and stuff too. And then it's all in your cloud. Yes. Just want to make sure. It's same thing for Google. Like if you use Google Suite, all of those things are in there, so you don't have to pay for additional like SurveyMonkeys and things like that. So.
Okay, let's wrap up. Thank you guys for all of your incredible suggestions and ideas. Thank you.